Lord, we are here to worship you. Would you meet with us through your Spirit? Teach us through your word. Show us where we need to change, and give us all we need to serve you in the world, for the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, to get us going and in the mood for our talk today, I did leave on the breakfast tables a copy of the quiz. And on each of the pews, there is one copy of the quiz, so you will need to talk to each other. I'm going to just give you 2 minutes to form a team with the people that you are sitting near. If you're the only person in a pew, please turn around and talk to the people near you. And you've got 2 minutes to answer as many clues as you can. It has to have the word king in the answer somewhere for each of these famous kings. You've got 2 minutes. Have a go.
It's on the screen. You need to write down the answer. Yeah. No, you got it there. Well done. King Kong or something? No.
Yes.
Not.
Yeah,
got it? Is it? Is it? King.
So you've got about 30 seconds left.
Come on, sorry, I've time. King, yeah, well done. ML King.
Arch enemy.
Comics. Come back to that.
King
enough. Yeah, that's it.
Ten seconds. Thank you. Right, time up. Okay. So we're just going to rattle through the answers to these as quickly as we can. Just give yourselves a tick if you got it right. No cheating and filling it in afterwards. Okay, so Skull Island's fictional giant ape was... King Kong, Egyptian pharaoh of the 18th dynasty, King Tut. Slightly controversial, I know, but that's what the quiz website said. Hamburger fast food chain?
Burger King.
Burger King. Rudyard Kipling short story from 1888? The man who would be king. Yes. Big-haired boxing promoter?
Don King.
Don King. American civil rights Baptist minister? Martin Luther King Jr. Marvel Comics, archenemy of Daredevil, Ollie and Charlie?
Kingpin,
thank you. Jazz singer of Unforgettable? Nat King Cole, the old crooner himself. Yul Brynner and Deborah Kerr film? The King and I, fabulous film. Major railway terminus in central London? King's Cross. The Disney animated feature film? The Lion King. Camelot's primary resident? King Arthur, and the final Lord of the Rings book, Return of the King. Oh, if you haven't seen that movie, it's a great one. Okay, just wave your hand in the air if you got more than six.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, keep your hand up if it was more than seven. Eight. Nine. Ten. More than 11. There were 13 in total. Yeah. More than 12. Well, if you got all 13, give yourselves a pat on the back. Very good job. Well done. All of which, hopefully, is just a bit of fun. Hopefully, it's got you talking to each other as well and getting us to think about our theme today, which is about God being king and his kingdom. And that's what we're thinking about this morning. Who is king and what kind of king they are makes a big difference to the kingdom that they rule, doesn't it? And so this morning, we're following on in our series on the Lord's Prayer and thinking about those words, your kingdom come, your will be done. So far we've thought, as we've thought about the Lord's Prayer, about who we're talking to. Those of you who were here when I was teaching the actions that we use in Surrey Hill School to the Lord's Prayer, we've thought about how it's our Father in heaven, like we can hold up our hands like a trusting child to our Father God and know that he catches and holds us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, our holy God who is worthy of all our worship and praise. That's who we're talking to. And then we recognize, don't we, that he, God, is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're thinking about where God rules and reigns. So as we come to the next line of the Lord's Prayer, we'll read it together. And you might, if you were here for the talk that I gave some time ago now, remember that the actions for this bit, we think about God's crown and we think about God's kingdom coming, his will being done on earth as in heaven. And turning our hands just reminds us of God's presence in heaven and on earth. So if you want to join in, you can, but you don't have to do the actions if you don't want to. But let's say those lines together. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. As Christians, we are good news people. Good news people. And the word that we translate as gospel or good news comes from a Greek word, which I hope I'm saying right. If I'm not, somebody tell me later. I think it's euangelion. And at the time of Jesus, this word was used for a very specific purpose. It described an important proclamation, either that the king has had an heir born to him, or it announced that a new king had begun to reign. Things would be different because a new king was now in charge. So when the first disciples talked about good news, they weren't just giving good advice. They were proclaiming that Jesus had come as the new king, bringing in God's kingdom. God's rule and God's reign had begun. Now, all the gospel writers, you could think of them as new kingdom announcers. They all record how Jesus saw his prime purpose as proclaiming and bringing the kingdom of God. And we read in Matthew chapter 9, I'm going to do what Alan does and split you lot. So could you read the first one for me? And there's going to be another verse in a minute that you guys can read. And you're going to have to be loud because there's more of them. Let's just read this together. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. So that's from Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. We also read in Luke 4, verse 43, over to all of you, but Jesus said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And then after Jesus has been crucified, he's been raised from the dead, and he has appeared to his disciples and then ascended into heaven. We've got the book of Acts, haven't we, where Luke records what happens after that. And he says right at the start of the book of Acts, let's all read this together. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Jesus spoke about, and his priority was God's rule and reign. What it means that God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, this wasn't just a powerful message about heaven. Often we think of the good news, don't we, as being, I'm sure if I asked any of you, a lot of people would first say, the good news is that Jesus died for my sins so that I can be forgiven and be with God in heaven for eternity. And that totally is absolutely at the heart of the good news. But it's not just that. The good news is wider and bigger than that. And that's what Jesus is talking about, what it means that God is King of Kings. Jesus' life and actions were all about what it means for God to come and rule and reign in this world, here on earth, as in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know if you ever look around this world and just think, this isn't how it should be. People falling out with each other, hurting each other, rubbish left on the pavement, loneliness, people living without good housing or food. This world is a broken place, our news tells us that. And in so many ways, it's so far from the beautiful place that God created it to be. Now, you've all got some sheets on your, again, there's just one per pew, with a copy of that picture. I wonder, you don't have to actually draw it if you don't want to, but if you choose, you can. What would you put on there that you feel that's a problem? That is not the way God created it to be. Would you draw a speech bubble coming out of the house with something that people say to each other that's unkind? Or, this world isn't how it should be. What would you put in that picture that would show the brokenness in this world? Maybe that's got you thinking about some of the things that you feel aren't right in this world at this time. If I think about my own life, my own actions, my own thoughts and motives, there's plenty of brokenness there too. I'm sure we could all relate to that. There are powers that rule and reign in this world, in our own lives too. Now, I've brought one of these chairs up from near the altar. We can think of this like a throne, can't we? We can think of it a bit like the throne room of who's in charge in my life, who rules and reigns. And quite frankly, I'd quite like to be able to sit on this most of the time because it's much, I don't know, does it feel good to be in control? I kind of like that sometimes when I'm getting worried, but frankly, it's not always the best plan, really. But it isn't just me wanting to be in charge of my own life. I think we could say that there are quite a lot of powers that rule and reign in our lives sometimes. Maybe greed sits on the throne. Maybe fear controls so much of my thinking and actions sometimes. Isolation. Choosing to isolate myself or feeling isolated can be very powerful. Selfishness, shame, revenge, envy, addictions. They're very real. But to say to God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven, is to ask God, let's just think of this sparkly crown as being like God's rule and reign. It's not really adequate, but you know, it'll have to do. If we're asking God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done on earth as in heaven, we're asking him to come and rule and reign as king in our lives. And that means there's no room for all this stuff because there can only be one king on the throne at any one time. And if we're asking God to rule and reign, then all those other powers, all those other things have to go. So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. If God is king, nothing else can be. Will they go away for good, all those things that we don't want to be in charge of ourselves? Well, sometimes they do, and what a fabulous answer to prayer that is. But more often than not, as many of us can testify, it's a struggle. And daily we keep praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. We seek support and help from one another as we pray and we seek God to be king in our lives. Jesus comes bringing transformation and healing. So as we pray, your kingdom come, what we're saying is, come and transform my life. Come and be king here. Make my life a place where you are honoured and where your will is done. Would you, God, come and be in charge? Now, Jesus both proclaimed and brought the kingdom of God. He taught about the kingdom and he brought the kingdom by his actions. People were healed. He spent time with all sorts of people. He forgave, he fed, he served people. He showed us with all of his life what the kingdom of God is like. And we, as we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, it's not just for our own lives. It's actually a prayer we can pray for the people we know, for the situations we know about, for the places that we know about in this world, because we want God's will to be done. We want him to come and rule and reign with his power, his forgiveness, his love, his healing. We can pray that for this village. God, your kingdom come in Westcott. Your will be done in Westcott. God, your kingdom come, your will be done in my home, in my road, in this county, in our nation. That God's will, God's rule and reign would be shown in the decisions we make, in the lives we live with one another in community. That we be in right relationship with God, with one another, with ourselves, and with creation. What would it look like, I wonder, if God's kingdom of love, joy, peace, forgiveness, and hope came more fully in your home? What might be different? What would it look like if God's kingdom were to come more fully in the life of this village? What might be different? God, your kingdom come in our nation. What might be different? Jesus gives us authority as his ambassadors, the sent people of God, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom and to carry his presence into the places that we live, we go to school, we work, we meet friends, so that his kingdom may come more fully in this place and this time. And as Jesus gave this authority to his disciples, and he gives that authority to us as his followers, to be kingdom bringers, to be kingdom proclaimers, we can pray that bold prayer. God, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. God calls each one of us to take hold of our commission, to be kingdom proclaimers and kingdom bringers where we live, with the people we know, even today, and this week. I wonder what one thing you might be able to say or do in this coming week that would bring God's kingdom more fully in your life and in the places and the people that you meet. Just take a moment to think about that now. I love the way that God asks us to start where we actually are. So it doesn't have to be something massive and spectacular. It might be. But more often than not, God asks us just to be faithful in those small things that we do and encounter each day. So as we move into a time of prayer, let's just begin by saying the words, just these few words from the Lord's Prayer together, shall we? Your kingdom come,
your
will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let's start our time of prayer by thinking about places that we know of where we long to see God's kingdom of love, of peace, of healing, of joy more fully realised. It might be a country in the world. It might be much closer to home. And in a moment, I'm going to come round with a mic. You don't have to say anything out loud if you don't want to. But if there is a place that you would like us all to bring before God and ask his kingdom to come, then I'm going to ask you just to say that into the mic. So we're going to pray together. I'm going to say, God, in these places. And then if you'd like to have a particular place named, might be Westfest today, wherever, just wave your hand and I'll bring the mic to you and we'll all pray. And then when we've had a moment of quiet as well, we'll all say together, may your kingdom come and may your will be done. And then we'll move on to thinking about people. And again, you might want to just keep that to yourself, and that's just fine. But you might want to name someone before the Lord. And also situations. So God, in these places,
the Amazon,
West Papua and the Mourne Mountains in Ireland,
Luton and Coventry,
places of conflict, places of hunger, places where your creation is not being cared for well. God, in these places, may your kingdom come and your will be done. God, for these people,
my mum, Linda Brady.
People scared of gang violence and knife crime.
The leaders and decision makers in our country and in our world.
For Helen Mannion.
The Sozas returning from West Papua to live with Peter and Patricia in Ireland.
For all those who need your healing and your comfort at this time. For Ed Rash, Stacey Van Niekerk, Helen Bennett, Hazel Shearing, Steve Brooks, Alex, Brian Lynch, Irene Packham, Rob Hedges, Emma, Doreen Williams, Morgan Thomas. For all those known and loved by us who need your comfort and care, God, for these people, may your kingdom come. And your will be done. we think of situations known to us in our nation, in our own community, in this world, where we want to see God's rule and reign come more fully. God, in these situations,
county lines, gangs, and knife crime in our country.
Fractured politics.
All the decision making and plans around Brexit. And our future Prime Minister. God, in these situations, may your kingdom come and your will be done. Amen.
Amen. We continue in a sense of prayer before God to make our confession and to bring to him those parts.